Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from icy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 16th, 2010, episode 34, sponsored by EZ Signs Online. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Jamie. Well, you yesterday said that you had or you had never heard the redneck reindeer, you know, Rudolph the Redneck Reindeer song.
So I had never heard that.
Well, this is just for you.
Somebody done been to the Walmart.
Man, that's just the stuff I got for Christmas.
Well, you cleaned up. What'd you get?
Five flannel shirts.
Four big mud tires, three shotgun shells, two hunting dogs, and some parts to a Mustang GT.
You fool, you got shit first 12 days to Christmas.
I know that. I got it covered. Look over in the corner.
That's yours, too?
Yeah, 12 pack of Bud, 11 wrestling tickets, 10 of Copenhagen, 9 years probation, 8 table dancers, 7 packs of Red Man, 6 cans of Spam. My tires, 3 shotgun shells, 2 hunting dogs, and some parts to a Mustang GT.
Man, this ain't normal Christmas present.
No, the redneck gift.
5 flannel shirts.
4 big mud tires, 3 shotgun shells, 2 hunting dogs, and some parts to a Mustang GT.
Well, had you heard that one before?
Oh, my gosh, I love, love, love Jeff Foxworthy. I think that he and my father are the same person. It's amazing.
They could be. That's 12 Days of Christmas by Jeff Foxworthy, of course. And it goes on and on. That thing actually went on for 4 minutes. I had to cut and slice it. But I thought, you know, we were talking about redneck songs yesterday. There are about 1,000 Christmas redneck songs. And, you know, Jennifer and I have a little bit of redneck in us, and I know you're from Georgia, so you have to, whether you want to admit it or not. So,
now, Glenn, you know, let me point out that there's a difference between a redneck and a good old boy. And I like to consider my family full of good old boys, not rednecks.
Isn't Jeff Foxworthy from Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, he is. He's
just saying.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
Thanks.
Just thought I'd bring that up. Hey, I want to acknowledge here right away at the top of the show that Jennifer and I are in the midst of a good old-fashioned Kentucky ice storm, and nobody knows how to do ice storms like Kentucky.
Ain't that right?
So I'm looking out my window, and we're probably at about a quarter to a half an inch of ice on the trees and everything right now, and it's still raining. So if we go off the air, if the show disappears, we probably will not be able to get it back today. So if the show goes off the air, you just stop hearing us. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be back. It could happen that the show stays on the air and I or Jennifer go away. And in that case, we'll get back on the line and Jamie will just talk to herself for a while. So
it's about time we had the Jamie show. Woohoo!
If you hear somebody talking, the show's still on the air. If you hear nothing, we have disappeared because our power or internet have gone out. So, and last year, actually, last 2 years, Jennifer, right? So we had ice storms here really bad. Last year was the really bad one.
It seems to be an annual event to some degree or other, yeah.
Last year's the one that made the national news where the whole state was covered in it, 2 inches of ice. And I was working as a volunteer for the Red Cross then, and we actually had a shelter open here in – a couple shelters open in Lexington for about 5 days because people were without power for that long. So
wow.
Kentucky knows how to do ice storms, and we're just adding this to the collection of bad winter weather we've had. I was talking to my my mother-in-law here yesterday in Pennsylvania, and she's like, "Well, we haven't had anything yet," and it's like, "Oh, I hate you." We lived in Pennsylvania; it was bad weather every winter. Now it's just followed us. So I just wanted to warn everybody of that, just in case. And you have a birthday that we want to acknowledge today.
Yes, we do. Lisa Bike, or Bick, she's an avid listener. She's always posting on Facebook, and it is her birthday. I don't know how old she is. I don't want to even say it on the air. So happy birthday, Lisa, from those of us here at Horses in the Morning.
And Lisa, for the last three or four days, was without power. She lives up in the North Country. And she had lost her power, and they were heating the house with the generator. And then I think the one night the generator went out, she posted on Facebook. So this morning, I think, or yesterday, she said she was really hoping that the high went above -5. When you're heating your house and doing all of that with a generator, you're really hoping that the weather goes above -5. So we're hoping that you get up to 10 today, Lisa. We're really rooting for 10. If you get a chance, give us a call and let us know what you've been living through. We'd love to hear from you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you had something yesterday, right? That you were trying to help with.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I had a pretty interesting and emotional kind of morning after the show. You know, we've talked several times to the people from Net Posse, and we've talked to a woman named Bernice who owns a horse named Maito Carbon Copy, and he's a black and white Pinto Stallion. He is a Pasofino, and he's been missing for, 3 months now, almost 4 months. He was stolen from her house. So, you know, your heart goes out to somebody who is suffering through something like that to have their absolutely gorgeous stallion disappear. And yesterday on Facebook, I started following them on Facebook just to kind of keep up to date. And this post came out, and I want to read it to you, and then I'll tell you how it kind of connects to me. But it says, "Does anybody live near Buckeye, Arizona? There's a black and white. It looks like Maito," the lady said. She didn't have his picture to make a possible ID, but the horse was what she called looked out of place. She said he was on the I-10, which is the freeway between Buckeye and Goodyear. You can see him from the road. Does anyone live around there? Well, you know, this horse is from the East Coast. There's an amazing amount of distance between Buckeye, Arizona, and where Maito was stolen. And believe it or not, that space that she's talking about, I knew of, and it is literally 6 miles from my house. Now, first of all, what are the odds? But I guess somebody, I called Bernice, I'm like, dude, I live like 6 miles from there. I know exactly what they're talking about, because right off the freeway, it's almost like a feedlot. And there's 5 or 6 horses out there, and you see them in the summertime, and you just kind of, your heart goes out to them because there's no shade. And they just stand by the freeway and never see anybody riding them. But they're fed, and, you know, everybody that I know drives by these horses and kind of checks on them. So, you know, after the show yesterday, I got in the car and drove as fast as I could over to that area to see if I could find Maito. And, you know, Your stomach is just in knots when you're going to do something like that for two reasons. First of all, it's probably not him. There's somebody called and said they were driving down the freeway and saw a black and white Pinto while they were going 65 miles an hour. So the odds that it would be that horse are extremely slim.
Are a few black and white Pintos in the country.
Yeah, just a few. But the other thing is, what if it is him? What am I going to do? What is the process? Do I go throw a rope over his head and load him in my trailer? No, that would be stealing. These people probably don't know if it is him that they have a stolen horse. So then you go, do I call the police? Hey, there's a horse that was stolen a while ago, and I found it on the road. Like, come on, what are you supposed to do? And then the phone call that you make to her, when you're supposed to go out there and look, you know she knows you're on your way there. and you're supposed to make a phone call. And when she sees your number come up on her caller ID, she's going to have a heart attack no matter what. So I drove out there. I actually found three black and white paints in this little industrial area, including one in the field. And two of them I knew immediately it wasn't him. And then the third one had its head in the feed bucket or in the hay, you know, roll bale and was eating. And it had all four white legs. The markings were very similar. And it picked up its head and my heart just broke because it was a bald-faced paint where Maito has a star and a snip. So, you know, I was so sad that it wasn't Maito. I just thought, what a cool thing for me to be able to go out there and find Bernice's horse that, you know, she's been missing for 3-4 months and to return it at Christmas. So my heart was broken for her. So I had to call her and give her the news. And, you know, surprisingly, when I call her and I say, I'm so sorry, you know, it wasn't your horse. You know, for me to be a part of that was, I was so disappointed because I really wanted to give her some good news. But, you know, she said, I am so grateful that you took the time out of your day and went and looked. I can't believe that there's people all over the world that are trying to help me. And, you know, every time somebody calls, you know, I was kind of mad about the woman that called, Glenn, because I thought, you know, that's really a stretch to call somebody and say, I saw black and white paint on the side of the road that looked out of place as I'm going down the freeway at 65 miles an hour and I'm not going to stop. I was mad. You know what? Bernice was like, you know, every time somebody calls, it's a lead. So I appreciate all the phone calls that everybody makes. And, you know, I just appreciate so much. And she was just like going on and on about how great I was. And here I am feeling so sorry that I wasn't able to return her horse. So a little bit of an emotional morning yesterday, and I'm still a little shooken up by it now because of the, gosh, that was the longest 6-mile drive I have ever made there or back to call Bernice. So we definitely wish you the best of the luck. And, you know, if anything comes up, any of us would be happy to help.
I know. Well, you know what?
I
would have been the same way. And Bernice, we're all trying. You know, what it shows is two things. One is that people are still out there trying. And two is the power of the Internet. You know, without the Internet, none of that would have happened yesterday. So, you know, it is amazing the things that can be done and how small the country and the world has become. And that's what gives me hope that she's going to find her horse someday, is that power right there.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that was quite a morning for you.
I'm telling you what, I went through every emotion from excitement to fear to dread to sadness, you know, and then not to mention the fact that I'm totally casing people's houses. I mean, I am going like, I even drove in 4 or 5 different driveways, and I'm like, please don't shoot me, because it's a pretty shady little area off the freeway. I was like, please don't shoot me, But I just wanted to let it go.
You needed to bring Tammy Sarantz along with you.
I would have loved to have Tammy. I definitely would have, because my gosh, I was like looking for protection, and my basset hound that was asleep in the back seat was not going to provide it.
Yeah, not much help from a basset hound, that's for sure.
Oh,
God. He could have sniffed him out if necessary.
Yeah, she's 14, okay? She's not sniffing much. She pretty much just sleeps. Well, you know, back to kind of the show. Thank you for letting me kind of vent that story a little bit. But we do have a really good show lined up today, brought to you by EasySignsOnline.com. Jennifer, please tell us what's on today's show.
On today's show, we hit the history books again with Fran Yerga's Almanac, and then Lynn Reardon from Lone Star Outreach to Place X Racers, commonly known as LOPE, will be here to talk about a really cool fundraiser they're doing. And on that whole LOPE subject, I put a little quiz question up on the Facebook page this morning. The first person to post the jockey who rode to 2 Triple Crown championships and the names of their mounts won a copy of Lynn Reardon's book, Beyond the Home Stretch, and Donna Denny wins. I think it took her like 30 seconds or something to do that. So next time I need to ask a harder question.
Yeah.
We will be contacting Donna Donna Denny and getting her information and sending out her book for her. And fear not, we will have the usual hodgepodge of music, weird headlines, bad jokes, and weather updates from listeners.
I love it. I love right, that. The weather updates, man.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Hey, I wanted to mention something fun that's coming up. And it just got announced yesterday, and he actually just put out two paragraphs about it. You and I are real suckers, and we've had this, on the morning show here especially. We end up talking about horse movies all the time. And, of course, we started this show right after Secretariat came out, and we got the review. So that was a lot of fun. We got an announcement yesterday of a new movie coming out, and there's a very popular play in London already called War Horse. But this is a Steven Spielberg movie called War Horse, and it was the first time that anything's been released about it. And, Jamie, if you'll bear with me and everybody, I'd like to just read the two paragraphs because I think it says it the best. From director Steven Spielberg comes War Horse, an epic adventure for audiences of all ages, set against a sweeping canvas of rural England and Europe during the First World War. War Horse begins with the remarkable friendship between a horse named Jelly and a young man called Albert, who tames and trains him. When they are forcefully parted, the film follows the extraordinary journey of the horse as he moves through the war, changing and inspiring the lives of all those he meets, British cavalry, German soldiers, and French farmer and his daughter, before the story reaches its emotional climax in the heart of no man's land. The First World War is experienced through the journey of this horse, an odyssey of joy and sorrow, passionate friendship, and high adventure. Bring an entire box of Kleenex there, Jamie. War Horse is one of the great stories of friendship and war. A successful book, it has turned into a hugely successful international theatrical hit and is arriving on Broadway next year. It now comes to the screen in an epic adaptation by one of the great directors in film history, Steven Spielberg. So I can't wait. I'm a kind of a war movie nut, and, of course, we're all horse movie nuts. So we get to combine the two there. And I think when it comes to Broadway, we have friends in New York City. I think we should go to New York City and see it together. I think that you and – wouldn't that be fun?
Glenn, I'm going to tell you that the entire thing that you just read, all I heard was, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry. I'm sorry, when the story reaches its emotional climax in the heart of no man's land, buckets. I can just imagine the tears. So whether we see it on Broadway, that'd be awesome. Steven Spielberg, he hasn't done a movie in a long time, so this is kind of like – huge that he's taking on this movie, and oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry. Like, I'm crying, like getting goosebumps reading this. So I'm in trouble.
Yeah, and I know figured this probably would be one. That's why I thought it would be fun to go together. You know, the four of us would just go to New York and eat at Mama Leone's, and then head down to Broadway to see this. And this one's very interesting. Samantha saw it when she was in England last year, and she talked about it on the 2010 radio show. And she's going to see a little bit of it at the big show she's going to in Europe or in England that she spoke about. But it's an open puppet. The horse is actually an open puppet, which means that you actually see the people who are controlling the horse, which is a whole different concept. But apparently, and Chris has seen it too, I think, after you see it, when 5 minutes in, you never see the people anymore. They said it's the strangest thing. How it works.
The Lion King was like that. I saw The Lion King, which are open puppets too. And yeah, you totally forget that those are people acting like idiots under there because you just get kind of sucked into the whole thing. So I can't wait for that to come out. Do we have any idea when it's going to come out? Is there any?
No, I don't have. They didn't have a posting on that yet. So as soon as I read something about that, I'll let everybody know. But we can't wait. That'll be a topic of conversation. You know, we should have Jennifer, if she's listening, if she could go get Steven on the phone, and maybe we see if we can get him on. That'd be great.
Call Steven. Call Steve.
Yeah, just call him.
Yeah.
See if we can get him on. Yeah.
Well, I think that'd be great. Speaking of getting somebody on, we actually have our first guest on the phone, I do believe, Glenn. And about once a month, Fran Yerga calls in with Fran's Horse Almanac, and she's going to talk to us about kind of what happened this day in horse history or this month in horse history. So we will say good morning now to Fran. Hello, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Are you freezing? We're great.
No, I'm toasty warm. I'm inside. I was freezing a little bit ago. But I want to go back to what you were just talking about. I know all about Warhorse.
Then so you posted about that, didn't you?
It's
you
opening in April.
Okay.
And I'll be there on opening night. I am so excited about that coming. I've been following it very closely, and it's going to be the biggest thing. I can't wait for it.
Now, you're talking the play or the movie for you?
The play.
The
movie
okay.
will open in the fall.
Oh, that's what it is? We weren't sure. So
yeah.
The movie's in the fall. Okay.
But stay tuned for that. It's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm going to have something on my blog about the play being at the Olympia Horse Show. But anyway, let's talk about history.
Okay.
We're supposed to be talking about history, and I am really excited because today is the anniversary right here on my doorstep of the Boston Tea Party. It was in 1773, and I know you're saying, oh, Fran, there's nothing about horses to do with the Boston Tea Party, but you know that I'm rewriting American history from the horse's point of view. And, you know, I bet you can't. You can't find a horse's point of view on the Boston Tea Party, can you?
No.
Yeah,
probably not.
Well, they did the Boston Tea Party by leaving from the Old South Meeting House, which is a beautiful church in Boston. And so when the Revolution broke out and the British occupied Boston, they retaliated. They punished the city of Boston by turning that church into, are you ready for this? They gutted the inside and turned it into a riding arena and hauled in all this dirt and put in jumps, and they were able to have jumping competitions, and they watched from the balconies. And the,
no way,
and the,
in church.
In church, yeah. This beautiful, beautiful church was converted into a riding arena to punish the people
Fran,
of Boston.
I don't remember that church being all that big.
It is.
It is? Okay.
In Boston in the winter, that would be big enough, yeah. And it has the wings on it and everything. It was really pretty interesting that they could do that.
Now, wait a minute, Fran. This whole thing is a little weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know we all worship our horses and stuff, but that is just carrying it way too far.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Much like a golf course is a waste of good pasture, a use of a church for a riding arena is combining two really awesome things.
I'm kind of surprised that they did that, but that's one of those Boston history things that has always amazed me. And also today, of course, is the anniversary of the, however you want to put it, assassination, I guess you would say, of Sitting Bull. And I know a lot of your listeners would know about the people who are interested in the Lakota horses and everything that's going on and trying to preserve the different breeds. But how many people know that when Sitting Bull left the Buffalo Bill Wild West Show, Buffalo Bill gave him his performing horse, and when the gunfire erupted and Sitting Bull was shot, the horse came running up to his house and started to do his little performance that he did in the Buffalo Bill Wild West Show, and he started, you know, doing his little dance and everything, and he sat up on his haunches and went through his whole routine. And, you know, the people that were observing, you know, just thought this was some kind of a religious occurrence while the horse was just doing what he was trained to do. But it was just kind of a magical moment that this horse, you know, just sort of came out of nowhere and did this unbelievable, unbelievable, you know, routine.
Magical in a creepy nightmare kind of way.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Sitting Bull was all about. You know, with the whole thing was just kind of a, just sort of a, you know, unbelievable thing that happened.
Spectacle comes to mind in what they were doing there in the shows. That was kind of a spectacle.
It was very much a spectacle. Yeah.
An entertainer, yeah.
Yeah. And then today in 1944 was the premiere in New York City. Speaking of entertainment, in New York City was the premiere of National Velvet, which was sort of the first horsey film, I guess you could say, and it launched the career of Elizabeth Taylor as an actress and was, really the first film that I remember ever seeing. It was in, black and white and, about the Grand National and all that sort of stuff that, this horse could have, come out of nowhere and won the Grand National. And it's just kind of a wonderful thing that captured the imagination. And Elizabeth Taylor and Mickey Rooney were such heroes. And it was just kind of a great, great thing. But, a little closer to home, today was also the formation of the Appaloosa Horse Club, which I had some interesting time researching this, that it started with six members, but it started because this fellow Dr. Haynes wrote a letter to the Western Horsemen in 1937, and he, described this horse, which they called the Palouse horse at the time, and said, were people interested in this horse, and they had all these letters of inquiry. They started the Appaloosa Horse Club with six members, and they didn't have their first show until 1948, but, it just sort of, grew into the third largest breed, of American horse breeds, and, just a wonderful success story. But, people probably think that these breed associations in the United States have been around forever, but, it's a pretty relatively new phenomenon if you look into the history of the Payne Association, the Appaloosa Association, the Quarter Horse Association. They're relatively new, and they really were pioneered by these people that just said we need to do this. It wasn't that they've been around for 100 years or anything. They're pretty recent. And then finally, just got to give a little tip of the hat to somebody I don't often tip the hat to, but Richard Nixon. Today, actually it's yesterday. I have to correct myself. Yesterday, 1971, signed the Wild Horse and Burro Act, signed into law the first real act of Congress that protected the wild horses, although it's only the wild horses that are on federal lands of forest lands and I have to say that it's Bureau of Land Management lands and National Forest Service lands, it was definitely a step in the right direction. We've all seen where it's gone from there. It's still controversial and still working out the kinks but until 1971 there was nothing at all on the books. So today's kind of a big day in that way. So,
yeah, not the usual guy that you give a round of applause for, but he definitely had some good advisors around him for that one. We do appreciate that.
I know. There are these, little things in history that you see, people pop up and you say, oh, well, my goodness, look who was involved in that, or look who was president or governor or whatever when that happened. So it was funny that it was kind of a footnote that he was the president whose signature was on that bill, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I've read a lot of books about Mustang Sally and the woman who facilitated all of the signatures and all of the passion kind of around that. And I do believe we kind of have a modern-day Mustang Sally, and the name is slipping right now, but she's just bought, 10,000 acres? And Glenn, help me out here. Because
Madeline Pickens.
Yes, Madeline Pickens. She
that would be Madeline.
Hero.
And can I throw in here that later on today, we're recording an episode of the Stable Scoop radio show all about the Tournament of Roses Parade. We're having the equestrian organizer from the foundation in Pasadena on and a couple of the groups. And Madeline Pickens actually is going to be in the parade with some of the Mustangs And she was so excited about doing the Tournament of Roses parade this year in honor of the Mustangs that she even had a huge flowery float built.
That's right.
So they're making their debut this year in the parade.
Cool.
Well, she is my modern day, you know, hero for sure. She's an amazing woman. I wish I had money to buy a million acres for some horses. That'd be great.
She's only getting started too. Only getting started.
So going back to National Velvet here, I'm backing up to that. The pie. What was the pie in National Velvet?
That's right, the pie.
Yep. Well, who got the pie after the movie was over?
Glenn's Cliff Clavin. He's Cliff Clavin right now.
That's right. Elizabeth Taylor ended up with the pie after the movie was over.
She did?
Really?
Yes, that's right. It was given to Elizabeth Taylor at the end. So that's who ended up with the pie. So just thought I'd let you know.
Fun fact. Thank you very much.
And you had, what's this about? You posted a post yesterday. I have to talk to you about this. So Kentucky's the horse capital of the world and the worst place to keep a horse.
That's, well, the worst place to be an animal.
Okay.
Now explain that a little bit.
Yeah,
I was
tell everybody about your post
Glenn.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
This group called the Animal Legal Defense Fund rates the 50 states in the union each year. And for the last 3 years, the state of Kentucky has come in last. And they don't really explain why. What they do is they rate the states according to the legislation that exists related to animals. Now, it's not horses per se, and it's all different kinds of legislation. Now, whether it's that Kentucky lacks legislation or the legislation that exists in Kentucky is more lax than other states, it's not really clear, and they need perhaps to clarify that. But, you know, it could be something like everything gets lumped in together, whether it's laboratory animals, zoo regulations, hunting and fishing, everything to do with animals, you know, is lumped together. You know, agriculture, you know, whether there's something that, you know, drags Kentucky way down, you know, whether it's one area that Kentucky is particularly lax in, I don't know. But I thought that when Kentucky passed the Horse Welfare Act, you know, Protection Act in June, that would have, you know, sort of canceled that out. But
taking us off the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I thought it would have moved Kentucky up to 49, but
exactly.
What I find interesting about this, Fran, is an outfit, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, is that what it's called?
Right, yes.
And a group, obviously, who deals with the legalities of animal husbandry, of how humans treat animals.
Right.
And legality generally connotates detail and transparency. And it's interesting from my point of view that this outfit chooses to put out a list which is obviously going to raise the hackles of states that are low on the list, chooses to not tell us how they came up with the rating.
Oh, I think that if you dig into the report, you probably can find out.
Oh, so it's just buried in the
it's just
page 159.
It's just buried in the details, and you would have to go, you know, much deeper. You know, for instance, it will tell you, you know, there are certain things that it highlights. For instance, you know, that some states are doing certain legislation. You know, for instance, you know, some states now, it's in terms of divorce, animals can be property that are, you know, you can have custody of your dog if you get divorced, you know, and that you could never do that before. Some states now allow that. Some states now allow people to go into nursing homes with animals, you know, and things like that. So it's, you know, there are certain laws that are coming up in some states and not in others. So maybe some states are just getting extra credit for having more positive laws, you know, that deal with animals, and other states maybe aren't initiating laws at all. So, there's that to think about, too.
Very interesting.
It is really interesting. And, I am going to get to the bottom of what the problem is in Kentucky. I couldn't believe it when that came out yesterday. I said, what?
Okay, so
after that law with the horses passing.
Yeah. The next time we see you and you have bags under your eyes and you've pulled half your hair out, we'll know that you got to the bottom of it.
Oh, no, it'll be on my blog as soon as I find out. I won't sleep.
I just wanted to throw in here, I think it was Jamie that made the comment with Susan on Facebook, says it's not Mustang Sally, it's Wild Horse Annie.
Wild Horse Annie, right.
Velma Braun Johnson from Nevada. I interviewed her for a school assignment in the 1960s, so it's Wild Horse Annie, actually.
Mustang Sally, Annie. A rock and roll song?
Yes, but I'm done.
I wasn't going to say that, though.
Come on, correct me. That's why we're here. I'm not afraid.
That's why we have our Facebook page, is for people to correct us all morning long. Karen wrote, I live 2 hours from New York City. Count me in. I'll be at the play. It would be great to meet you. So we're going to have to do like a Horse Radio Network meetup at the play in New York City. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Can't you see?
They'd kick us out. We'd be throwing popcorn.
We'll be the only ones there in cowboy boots and belt buckle.
Do they have a kid's
I don't think so. I bet not.
Thank you, Fran. We appreciate you calling in. This was fun. You have a very Merry Christmas up there in New England.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you do, too. Merry Christmas to all the listeners of Horses in the Morning.
Thank you, Fran.
Thanks, Fran.
Thank you. Bye now.
Well, that was fun. She had a whole bunch of good stuff for us today.
Yeah, I wanted to know more about, she said she was writing a book about history from the perspective of the horse, and not to be whatever, but history kind of bored me all through school, but that is a history book I would have poured through. I mean, how much more could I have learned if it was the story of somebody that I really wanted to hear about? I mean, Black Beauty is kind of like a historical document as far as the times go back then, and I've read that book 10,000 times, so that would be awesome. I want to read that.
Yeah, the reason that we got started with her doing this segment on the morning show is I was just chatting with her one day, and I said, hey, we're going to do this morning show, we should get you on to do something. She said, I'm writing this book. And it was about the history from the horse's point of view. And I thought, well, that's a fascinating thing. So that's why she's coming on and doing these segments. And she comes up with this stuff that nobody's ever heard of. She is a researcher and a digger, Fran is.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's funny. We talked about the horse's perspective because I have a new internet addiction. Can I tell you about it?
Yes.
You talk
Do
about
we want to hear
horses?
This, by the way?
It's not food porn, okay? It's not food porn. You talk about reading things from the horse's perspective. Oh, my gosh. Do you know who has a diary, a blog online? Zenyatta does!
Really?
Zenyatta has an online blog, and if you become friends with her on Facebook, you get the link. But basically, it's zenyatta.com, and you click on news, and she goes. She has a diary post, like she posts almost every day, and they post pictures and videos of her. And she's got a new handler, and his name is Charles. And I laughed because basically she says, to paraphrase that, everybody at the barn is laughing at Charles because he has so many new Facebook friends, all because of, me. But she goes like over the 60 minutes. She talks about the 60 minutes segment. She talks about her barn friends. She talks about going for a walk in the snow. She talks about how cold it is in Kentucky. It is hilarious.
I think you missed the biggest point of this. Charles isn't a bad-looking guy. I think if Zenyatta had a vote in the Hottest Horseman contest, she would be voting for Charles.
See, that's where I need you, Glenn, because I was just looking at the horse. But you're right. He is kind of hot.
Yeah, see,
okay,
you got to put him on the list. Put
all right,
Charles and
you are now on the list
boyfriend.
For hottest. Yep. I need a best couple. There you go.
There you
best
go.
Couple.
That's a good one.
That's perfect.
Okay, Vignetta and Charles, I'm putting you on the list now. And I need to find out who Charles is, and maybe I'll become friends with him on Facebook, too.
He looks like he's having a blast. Charles in these pictures is just looks like he's having a blast with Zenyatta. So that's at Zenyatta.com. Just go to her diary. It is kind of fun. I didn't know this existed. That's terrific.
I am an addict. I keep forgetting to mention it, but I just keep forgetting to say that I'm reading this. But every day I'm like, oh, is there a new Zenyatta post?
Hey, we have Chris Stafford on the line here. Hi, Chris. How are you? You must have been listening in this morning.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. Yes, it's unusual. I have to confess that I don't always get to listen to you live because, you know, I'm recording other shows or
oh, you got those other shows to do. Yeah.
Sorry about that. But I did pick up. What was that, Jamie?
I just laughed because you are so busy.
But I did prick up my ears when you were talking about the War Horse, because as you said, Glenn, I did go and see it on stage in London, and it is phenomenal, and you're absolutely right. You see these puppets come out, you know, these puppet horses, which I have to say are much larger than life. They're huge, absolutely huge, and they take up the stage. This was in a theater in London, which, you know, really had to be able to accommodate the size of these puppets. And interestingly, as you said, once you get to watch it a little bit, you kind of forget the men that are actually in the women that are obviously all in black, but they're inside and they are the puppets of these, you know, steering these horses. But what I'm going to be interested to hear when it gets onto stage in Broadway is the accents of the actors, because even for a Brit, it was hard for me to understand some of the accents of Albert the Boy. Very, very, very broad country accents, English country accents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for you to understand it?
If it was hard for you, we're stuck. We're going to need a trip. Do they have little subtitles up on stage or on a screen somewhere?
You have to get one of those little phone things that you hold up to your ear
yes,
when you're going on a tour, you
like
know?
An opera.
And then the horse
does. I don't know if they're bringing the same cast, it has to be said, but if they do, you know, maybe they won't, or maybe they will soften it a bit for an American audience. But the movie, yeah, it will come out in October next year, and that is set in England, and it is a very, very good story, and it really does tear at the heartstrings about these horses that go to war and the horses that are lost. And I was so impressed when I saw the play last August when I was in London, and I couldn't wait to read the book, which is like a children's book, and then I read the play. So I actually read the book, saw the play, read the book, read the play itself on the flight back here, and I'm obviously one of many that are looking forward to the movie.
I was going to say, so true. You're not looking forward to the movie at all then, huh?
No, they're a quick read. I can lend them to you anytime, Jamie, if you want to prepare yourself for this, because it is one of those monumental equine stories, you know, that really does drive home to you what we did with the horse
now,
in years past.
The big question is, Chris, Jamie, you know, is very emotional. I mean, but that's not a secret. Everybody knows that she cries every show. So will she need like a case of tissues? Should I prepare ahead or what?
Oh, most definitely. I would put an order in for Kleenex already way ahead of time. Yeah. And whoever's sitting beside her when she sees that movie, you know, make sure you've got a big shoulder.
Chad's going to have to come along then.
You know what Chad does when I watch a horse movie or a sad movie? He watches me. And which totally takes you out of the element. You're like, stop staring at me just because I'm crying. He's like, I just think it's so funny that you cry at stuff like this. Like, leave me alone. But yeah, Chris, do you think after reading the book and seeing the play, do you think it's going to be one of those movies where you're like, oh, the movie just wasn't good enough? Or is it going to be an easier movie to do?
I think because you're dealing with the live animals, it probably will be a lot easier. Obviously, with the play, you're confined to that stage, and the movement that you can achieve by physicalizing those horses within a confined space. So I would think it would be a far more dynamic movie than it would be a play. It, not to say that that play wasn't impactful, it certainly was, but the scope that you have, of course, with lots of horses, with the, you know, battle scenes, and, you know, having the numbers of extras and extra horses that you could to back up the principles, if you will, that I think will make it very dynamic. You know, you've got so much more scope to really play out the whole scene a lot more.
And that and two other words, Steven Spielberg.
Right up his street, you know, and as soon as he saw the play, he secured the rights, and it's a perfect movie for him.
Oh,
well, that's
so
terrific.
And it comes out, what, next fall? But the play's here in April, I think Fran said.
October. They're shooting it right now in England, so, it'll come out. And there are other places, other locations in Europe that they're shooting it. But, but it's due to be released in October, so follow that
and
with interest.
And
if you want to borrow the play in the book, let me know.
Yeah, we're talking about going to New York to see this, and we'll have to have a media. Wouldn't it be funny if the first meetup for the Horse Radio Network was in the middle of New York City?
Let's do it.
That would be ironic. We have a friend on Facebook and a friend of the Stable Scoop Radio Show that's followed us forever and listened since day one, who is part of the New York City Mounted Police Department. So we could probably, and they have their, it's really cool because they have their stables are in a like multi-story building. And I think they have to like take elevators up and stuff. So it'd be cool to get a tour of the stables while we're there too. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that's right. It is neat. And what an appropriate place to have all the hosts of the Horse Radio Network meet, you know, right in the middle of New York.
Oh, I want to see Alan in the middle of New York City.
Our listeners are like, right now, I hate you guys. We want to go. So we can bring listeners too.
What I mean. We'll make it a meetup. We'll have everybody join us. That would be so much fun.
If you guys need to go and you need a translator, just give me a call.
Okay, we'll
You're
do.
In.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you calling in.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Now, I think we get to listen to Chris again right now, too, don't we?
Yes, we do, actually. We get to listen to her right now with the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Britain's dressage darling and world silver medalist Laura Bechtelsheimer rode the 15-year-old chestnut gelding Mistral Horace to victory with a score of 82.936% in the Rheims-Acre FEI World Cup Grand Prix qualifying competition at London's Olympia Horse Show. She beat Dutch star Adeline Cornelissen and her 13-year-old chestnut gelding Jerick Parsival, who was a little unsettled in his test, to score 78.170%. The pair had been short of match practice since their disqualification at the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games earlier this year. Her compatriot, Edward Gall, returned to London, where he won last year with Totulus, this time riding his half-sister, the 11-year-old bay mare Sister de Jour, to score 72.553%. German-based U.S. rider Catherine Haddad finished third on her 10-year-old chestnut gelding Winamaro with a score of 69.191%. All 15 competitors will ride their freestyle test to vie for a place in the World Cup finals in Leipzig, Germany in April. Hundreds more Dartmoor ponies may be culled this winter after the government axed more than $200,000 from a three-year plan to control their numbers on moors of Dartmoor, according to the British magazine Horse and Hound. The market has collapsed due to a drop in demand for ponies as family pets and European Union microchipping and passporting rules that have forced up costs. Around 700 ponies have already been culled this year. It is feared that many ponies will be destined for slaughter unless the current trend is reversed. The British Government Office, Natural England, remains committed to working with farmers and the Dartmoor National Park Authority to secure a viable and sustainable future for the ponies. There are around 1,500 ponies on Dartmoor, and some 900 foals are born annually. Show jumper Georgina Bloomberg's charitable venture, The Rider's Closet, is in the business of giving and receiving not just during the holidays, but all year long. from the therapeutic riding centers to pony clubs to collegiate equestrian teams, Georgina's Apparel Exchange Program has made a real difference for hundreds of equestrians who want to participate in competitive, scholastic, or therapeutic riding, but who are unable to afford the gear. A recent recipient is Horses Healing Hearts USA, a nonprofit from Lake Worth, Florida, which works with children of alcoholics and addicts. Created as a home-based operation in 2006, the Rider's Closet quickly grew in scope. In July 2010, Georgina decided to move the Rider's Closet to a new location where it could operate on a continuous basis while she traveled to competitions. Familiar with its philanthropic mission and services, Georgina partnered with local nonprofit Pegasus Therapeutic Riding to bring the Rider's Closet to Pegasus Farm in Brewster, New York. And that's all the news this Thursday morning. I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, Jamie Jennings and Glenn the Geek back with you here on Horses of the Morning, brought to you by EasySignsOnline.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jamie's new sign coming up here in a minute. But first, we have a caller on the line that wants to make a nomination in the Hottest Horseman Awards, which, of course, the award ceremony, or show, rather, will be held on the 30th here on Horses in the Morning with Helena B. and Jamie Jennings, and they're kicking me the hell out, so I won't be allowed on the show. But we have a caller on here. Good morning, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. You'd have to excuse yourself, Glenn, wouldn't you, for the hottest
Oh, there's no excusing. I'm being kicked out. They're just not even letting me on. Who are we speaking to?
We are speaking to Debbie, who has the hottest dad.
All right, tell us who it is.
A dad nomination.
Yay,
perfect.
We need those, yeah.
We need dad nominations, that's right. So step aside. I'm sorry, there's not going to be any more needed after this.
Okay.
Who's your dad?
And who is
it? Tell us about him.
Well, a little bit about him. The first thing, I bet nobody knows about him, and I'm going to be the first one probably on air to tell everybody this, that he's highly related to Warhorse.
How so?
Really?
Ah, listen to that. I thought I'd surprise somebody anyway. And, yeah, how so? The authors of the play originally approached him to help them learn how to make the puppets real.
So your dad is
Jamie,
a horseman.
I have a good idea who this is now, but I'm not going to give it away. Now I have a good idea who we're speaking to.
So, we can narrow pretty fast after that. And he's a devoted father and husband, very hot. He's stronger than the average senior citizen for sure. I mean, if you've ever seen him wrestle with a horse out there, he takes on those Mustangs with the best of them, even the lesser. And, you know, Nacho, he's cute, but I don't think he's got anything on those blue eyes and that cowboy hat.
So tell everybody who it is.
His name is Monty Roberts.
Yay!
And we are speaking to Debbie Lauchs, his daughter. That's really cool of you to call in and nominate Monty. I saw Monty last year, one of the funnest things I've ever seen him do. And he, you know, thank you so much for calling in, Debbie. This is fun.
It was
thankless. The funnest thing I ever saw him do was in Florida when at the gala down there before Christmas time. When at the end of the show, he had just done two acts. He worked with he did a pas de deux with Courtney King Dye, and it was hilarious. At the end of the show, they had all the performers run around, and then Templeton Thompson sang a song, and Monty was out there dancing. How old is he?
He's 75.
Yeah, he looked like he was 22, out there dancing and having a great time with all the riders. He just has so much energy.
Yeah, he does. You're right. You're right. Everybody says that, but it's actually really true. He burns out more young riders on the road. You know, he tours with these young kids in their 20s that get up on those unridden horses, and they have to get off the road, get married, have children just to get some rest.
So what is your dad up to right now? What is he doing right now?
He is at this very moment working with this morning, he's working with an extemporaneous thoroughbred who doesn't want to do her job the way that God intended. She thinks that those starting gates are claustrophobic-looking caves, and so he's, you know, you get a reputation for working with the remedials, and pretty soon you got a whole string of them lined up. You know, is there a normal horse in the group anywhere? But he has a lot of fun with that. He likes noodling those problems up in his mind all night, and then working with the horses in the morning. So he is home. He just got back from the National Finals Rodeo, where he got to see a lot of his old friends, and he's been on the road since September. And just got back last week. So he's still out there.
Jamie,
wow.
One of the things that Debbie's kind of humbled, she also is an extraordinary equestrian and has traveled and done all kinds of cool things riding. And they, I cannot wait. One of these days we're going to have to go out and record the morning show at your farm. I'm dying to see it there in California on the beach.
You need to do that. Yeah, we're 15 minutes from the beach, and we're in wine country. Can I give you any more reasons?
Yeah, you know what? I actually have been by your farm. Are you at your dad's place in Solvang?
Actually, right now I'm in Newport Beach. I just got back, so I go back and forth.
Oh, I see. That is, I'm sorry, Santa and Inez and that whole area is the most beautiful place on earth.
It is.
The most perfect place. And I remember having read your dad's book, I saw him do some clinics and everything. And so it's really cool to talk to you. But I drove by the farm and everybody was like, that's Monty Roberts' place.
Oh, we always say to people, I know there's gates outside. And people always go, oh, but there was a gate outside. And you say, yeah, that's to keep the horses in, but not to keep the people out, so come visit. It's really fun. We have people pilgrimage there from all over the world, and it's a lot of fun. You know, you can walk around on Thanksgiving Day and hear Danish, and you know, it's not because we're in Solvang, they're actually from Denmark.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to say that, you know, I am a short drive from you guys, so don't offer that. I'll be there in about 4.5-5 hours.
You're good. Where are you?
I'm in Phoenix.
You're easy. Come visit us. And, you know, that weather's so bad in Phoenix. Come out to our it's not as beautiful there right now, I'm sure.
I know. That's the only
place. From all that great weather.
You know what, but you're at Lake San Inez and the whole valley and everything. That is the only place that is more beautiful than Phoenix in the winter, I swear. You have the ocean, so it's perfect out there. Love it.
Come visit us anytime.
Well, Debbie, this has been a true pleasure. Does the whole family get to be together at Christmas this year?
We absolutely do, yeah. That's the best place to be for Christmas, and they have a big crackling fire and lots of people. We have invite everybody on the ranch to come, and it's quite an international bus stop. It's a lot of fun, Glenn. Thank you for
now,
asking.
Is it a country Christmas, or is it a traditional Christmas?
I'm not sure I know the complete difference between those, but it is definitely traditional.
Are you having beans and barbecue or turkey?
Oh, no, we do. Well, usually we have a smoked turkey. Does that count?
No, that counts. That's almost country. Well, that'll get you there, Debbie. Well, Debbie,
yeah,
this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for calling in. And we are definitely going to have to make it a point. And you know what's going to happen, though? We can't come out there and record just one morning because we'll want to stay much longer than that. So if we come out, you're going to have to put up with us for a couple days.
I can come up with lots of stuff for a couple of days. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you so much. That's Debbie Laux, who is Monty Roberts' daughter. I don't know. Do you have him on the list? Hey, Debbie, can you send us a hot picture of him so we can use it?
Oh, you know what? I was
starting
to upload one to your Facebook. Shall I send it to your Facebook?
Oh, sure. That'd
Perfect.
Be great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yes. Thanks, Debbie.
He's on the list.
Merry Christmas.
He is on the list.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, Monty's on the list. I love that. That's a new twist to it, you know, because, you know, first of all, everybody's welcome to call in with their nominations at 347-637-3238. But for a daughter to call in about her dad, that's really, really sweet. I love it.
I do, too. And I have goosebumps right now. You know, we've had Monty on the shows before, and I've met Debbie several times, and they're just nice people, and it was so cool of her to call in our little morning show to nominate Monty Roberts for the hottest contest. I think that's terrific, and I'm sure you'll see a picture on Facebook very shortly. We have a commercial to do here, and then we're going to get to our next guest. We'll have Lynn just hold on one second. We'll be right with you, but we have to talk about Easy Signs Online first. You know, if you still need a great last-minute gift idea, how about a gift certificate from EasySignsOnline.com? Let your friend or family choose their own options on their new sign. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and to see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to farm entrance signs, they have the sign that you need. With a sign to suit everyone's budget, gift giving has never been so easy and fun. Today's special is 10% off all gift certificates. Simply call them today at 800-640-8180 and just mention Horses in the Morning to receive your discounted gift certificate, which can be emailed right away. That's easysignsonline.com at 1-800-640-8180, and don't forget to mention us when you give a call. Now, you ordered a sign from Easy Signs Online for your farm, and it came, and you posted a picture this morning.
I did. I love it. It is so perfect. And first of all, yay, I have a farm, and I have a sign that makes it so official. And, you know, I kind of was a pain in the butt to Easy Signs Online because I'm like, listen, I have family coming into Christmas. I need you to help me design the signs, and then I need you to get it to me so I can still have time to put it up because I want my family to drive down the road, and as we go to pull into our farm that they've never been to, they're going to see the sign. So I posted it online. I picked the barn red color, and I got the extra large size. And I got the two-sided, so you can see it from either side that you drive in on. And it's just awesome. We kind of had the logo, and my husband had made me like a little wooden sign for our wedding gift of our farm. So we came up with the name Flyover Farm, and then he designed the logo, which is like the F-16 jet on one side and then a horse jumping up on the other side. So it kind of combines our two passions, and Flyover Farm, he flies over it all the time. And so that's kind of how the whole thing got put together. And you know, they were just so great. Wayne is the one that I dealt with, and just awesome to deal with. He was so patient with me because I'm like, I don't know how to upload things and send them.
You're a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. So they were so helpful, and it would be a really great gift certificate to give somebody. You know, stall nameplates are popular, and then you know, just signs and banners, and you can put your farm sign. Not the magnetic siding things that you can stick to your car. They have those too. So get a gift certificate for somebody. They're 10% off right now. So give them a call, easysignsonline.com. Love it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you like your sign. I can't wait to see pictures of it up in front of your place. That'll be fun.
Oh,
and I can't wait to see it in person. You know, we're going to have to do a flight trip here. We'll fly to your place. Well, Jennifer and I could spend a couple of days with you, record the show there, and then head up to Debbie and Monty's house. That would be a lot of fun. We're gonna have to get that arranged.
Is this before or after our trip to New York? Because you have booked a lot of flights today, my friend.
I know. That's true. Well, we have our next guest on here, who is an absolutely lovely lady. She is an author. She will argue that she will argue with you, Jamie, that your perfect place is not California or Arizona, but Texas. I think that Lynn would be happy to argue with you about that. We have Lynn Reardon on. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing? I'm doing great.
Are you going to argue that Texas is better than those dumps?
Yeah. We're not quite as elegant maybe as California, but I think we, with our big skies and kind of down-to-earth personalities, I think we put in a really good kind of fight for the first place there.
Now, this comes, if I remember right about your history, Lynn, this comes from a person who's not originally from Texas.
No, I used to live in Washington, D.C. I grew up there and, as you know, had a really exciting career in accounting and didn't learn to ride till I was an adult. And it wasn't until I got to Texas that I think I really just found out that I could do what I wanted to do with horses, and a lot of it had to do with the culture here. So that's why I fell in love with Texas so much. It really kind of was a gateway to this dream of mine.
Now, let's go back. Let's start at the beginning. Just give a Reader's Digest for the people who did not hear you on the Stable Scoop show. That was a long time ago, too. You were a guest once on Stable Scoop, and we absolutely love talking to you. So, and then we've talked about your book too. But when you went to Texas, you did what?
Well, what I did was I opened up LOPE, which is Lone Star Outreach to Place X Racers, which is a nonprofit devoted to finding ex-racehorses new homes. And what is interesting about that is, besides the fact it's a cool job, is that I didn't learn to ride till I was an adult, and I was awful. I was a really bad rider, you know, very kind of nervous and kind of the classic, you know, adult beginner. I mean, that's just the best way to put it. And I had always been fascinated by racehorses, and really aspire to be able to ride.
Perfect place to start
them.
There, Lynn, with off-the-track thoroughbreds. That's
right,
a terrific.
Right, exactly. You can see where I have issues with sort of planning skills. So but we ended up moving to Texas, and through this strange series of events, we opened this racehorse adoption ranch, which I discuss in the book. And the first year, we thought maybe we'd have one or two essentially retirement horses with limitations. And instead, the first year, 40 came. And they were all shapes and sizes. Most of them were sound. Some of them had just very minor sports injuries. And I thought I was going to die. I mean, I had never lived with horses before. I was squeamish about giving shots. I was nervous about riding them. And over the next few years, I learned a lot about what these horses had to teach me. And in a very practical, humorous way, became a better horseman and I think a better person. And
Lynn, hold on one second. We have a song for you. Does this sound familiar?
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, fat wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
That sounds very
familiar?
Like a theme song to LOPE, yes.
Yeah, you should have that as your theme song. We could get that for you.
Yeah, that pretty much was it. So it was really, it was kind of like Lucille Ball meets, you know, off-track thoroughbreds there for a while. But anyway, it really, for me, I really enjoy working with these horses. It's been just an honor. And also, again, we always say that the racehorses saved me from being a really boring person. And so now I'm a lot more interesting and have a lot better stories to tell.
Yeah, you don't sound like the typical accountant, Lynn.
Not anymore. Not anymore. That's pretty much been burned off of me. So.
Now, Lopez, you have something coming up, and I noticed it in an email that you sent, and that's why I asked you to come on, because I really wanted you to talk about the whole stallion season and what that is and how it works.
We have a stallion season auction that we do every year at the holidays, and there are several outstanding stallions in Texas. And this one particular farm and syndicate has supported us every year since 2005, unsolicited. They approached us. And these stallions are just wonderful. They are Special Rate, which is a son of Pulpit, and he had an outstanding 2009. That was his first colt crop, 100% winners. I mean, very rare, unusual.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, the thing that we love about Special Rate is, in addition to being great runners, these horses also have great confirmation for after track careers, which is something we kind of look at and appreciate in these stallions. The second stallion is Lil's Lad, who is just another fantastic stallion. He is by Pine Bluff, and his lifetime progeny earnings are over $5.3 million from just, again, six crops. So this is a stallion that really he throws for great temperament as well as very good competitive, you know, all-around heart for racing. And then the third stallion is a new one. This would be a new stallion, and his name is Drums of Thunder. This would be his first season, you know, standing. And he has an outstanding pedigree, Danzig and Stormcat lines, and we have a photo of him, and you want to talk about just a good-looking horse. I mean, really intensely solid confirmation. These are the folks at Key Ranch in Salado, and they just they do a great job with the mares. They do a great job with the stallions. And we do this online stallion season auction, and it closes on the 21st of December at 6 p.m. And we would just love for people to come and take advantage of, you know, this auction. And all proceeds go to support Lope and the X-Race horses.
I have got to tell you that this horse special rate, I would kill to have a baby from that horse.
Oh my gosh.
He
is amazing.
Is phenomenal.
And I met him in person, too. I've met all of them except the new one, Drums of Thunder. And these stallions, they have not only the usual testosterone presence, but it'd be good temperaments, good intelligent eye, very well handled, like their jobs, and their babies reflect that, which, you know, again, when you've worked with X-Race horses, you really come to appreciate, you know, thoroughbred sires that can throw for performance in racing as well as ability after the track.
Yes. I mean, I'm looking at his bloodlines, and no wonder I like him. He's a grandson of AP Indy.
Yeah. I mean,
Pulpit was an amazing horse, too. So that's really great. That these are some really nice stallions. If I had a mare, I would bid.
Well,
yeah,
good.
That kind of helps.
You need the mare first. Otherwise, the stallion season is not as useful.
Now, how does it work? How do they bid? How do you do that stuff?
We do a sealed bid, just like the Thoroughbred Charities of America would do with their annual auction. We try to emulate them. They're so professional in how they handle their auction each year. And so that means that you would contact us by phone or the email listed, and we would get you up to date on what the current bids were, and you would have your bid sealed as well. And then we notified everybody, you know, right after, well, really within 10 minutes of the auction closing. So it's very simple. And we've been doing this now for several years, and just we have some regular bidders who come in, but every year we have new ones too. And so it's a really fun event and very simple. I mean, really, from your computer, you know, you can be creating the next, you know, great racehorse. So.
And now, Jennifer, it's too bad
Right.
Yeah. Too bad that Beaker's not a girl, Jennifer.
No babies. No babies. Talk about a lot of work. Got to have commitment there.
Now, can I ask you a question kind of on a more serious note? Because I really think that, you know, our listeners are such horse lovers, obviously. That's like basic, but so many people want to volunteer for charities and want to give to charities. And there has been a severe influx recently in the news of all these places that are quote unquote rescues that have done some really bad things, you know, and really haven't been taking care of their rescues. What do you recommend? Like, say I want to give my money to a equine rescue group. Besides Lope, where would I find one that's legitimate and that we can volunteer for and that we can focus on and that we can promote that's not going to, you know, end up in the news in a year saying they starved all the horses?
Well, you know, we think that the Thoroughbred Charities of America does a great job of screening all of its grant applicants, and they support all types of rescue organizations. It doesn't have to be just Thoroughbred only, all throughout the country. And they have a list on their website of all of the organizations they have supported. And what that means is that they have gone through, they have checked 501c3, you know, records to make sure they're appropriately, you know, an IRS charity. They have checked, you have to turn in vet references, you have to have your place inspected, you have to meet a lot of criteria in order to be given a grant by the Thoroughbred Charities of America. That's why we're really honored that we get that every year. I mean, that's a big deal. It's kind of like a stamp of approval. That can be a really quick way to kind of hone in on a rescue in your state, because they fund organizations all over the United States. And they're just an awesome group.
What is that website? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, Thoroughbred Charities of America. And what they also do is every year in December and January, they hold an annual stallion season auction, which is how they get a lot of their own funding to help all of us organizations out here. And just an incredibly professional group. They've been doing this for a long time. And I just can't say enough good things about them. That's a really quick way, I think, to focus in on a group near you. And that's what we always recommend people do first. There are other groups that are starting to put forward kind of certifications where you can get a rescue certified. And those are kind of new and in the process. And I think probably within a few months we would be able to talk more about those. Like, you know, this type of certification from this organization would be, you know, also a very effective list. But that's what I would recommend.
The website is tca.org, TCA for Thoroughbred Charities America.org. And that's exactly the answer that I wanted for this question, because, you know, they say I'm giving money to a charity in Texas. It's not easy for me to go and check it out. And that's what I've been recommending for people, is if you're going to do it, volunteer there first. Make sure that this is a legitimate place. But with TCA.org, they've kind of done the legwork for you. So that's a perfect answer to the question. Thank you.
Well, good. You're welcome. So,
hey, Lynn.
And I wanted to thank you guys, too, for doing a giveaway on my book. I really appreciate that. I thought that was very...
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I was very excited by that. I'm like, wow, that's an honor. So I really appreciate that you did that.
Well, no problem. And your book is Beyond the Home Stretch, which is a terrific book. But you had something there, too, that was going on, right?
Well, yeah. What's really interesting, it's really fun. We're down to just a couple hundred copies of the hardcover edition left. We're releasing a paperback through our publisher, a New World Library, and that's coming out in early spring, sometime I think in mid-February. And one of our funders is a local entrepreneur, and he has said if we sell out the hardcover by the end of December, he is going to fund a little book tour for the paperback, which is really great for Lope, because then we get to travel out of state and kind of get the word out about these great horses and how wonderful they are, no matter what state you're in. You know, it's our way of kind of helping with national outreach for the X racehorse. And I always kind of throw in this pitch for the book, not only, of course, does it make a great gift, but that it's a funny book. No horses die. You know, it's not like a sad book. It really is Lucille Ball meets Texas and X-race horses and survives to tell the story.
Hey, Lynn, it really is this.
Green on green makes black and blue, wouldn't ride that horse.
That's really what it is.
That's really what it is. And if I could get that song to play every time someone opened the book, I think that would be perfect. Like, if you can work on that for me, I would really appreciate it.
That is your theme song for sure.
Yes.
The book is Beyond the Home Stretch by Lynn Reardon. We're going to put links in our show notes. We'll post it on Facebook for you as well. And the challenge is she has to sell these few hundred copies left. If you have not read this book yet, read it. It is well worth reading. Where would be the best place to buy it?
I always recommend that people go to Amazon because it's really fast. But you also can go to local bookstores. It's in Borders and Barnes & Noble. And if you want an autographed copy, you can come to our website, which is lopetx.org, and we will personalize and send a personal note within the book with an autograph by me, the author, and send that out as a Christmas gift to friend or family member. So that's another way that you can do it as well.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you so much, Lynn, for calling in today. We're going to have Lynn back because she's just so much fun to talk to.
Well, thank you. I really enjoy this show. It's like my favorite horse radio show, like top by far. I mean, you guys do a great job and so many different disciplines. I always learn a lot listening. So I really appreciate it. I'm really honored to be on the show. I'm a fan. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lynn. If you can call anytime, you have an open invitation.
Well, thanks. Thanks. If you'll play my song.
And have a terrific. Okay, so now I asked Debbie that question. So do you have a country Christmas down there, or do you have the typical turkey in Texas?
We have the typical turkey. I'm a complete turkey lover. I love turkey, pumpkin pie, the whole bit. So we do that. And then we watch our neighbors shoot fireworks. It's very Texas.
That's Texas.
That is very Texas. We go sit down on our porch and watch our neighbors shoot off the fireworks.
Yeah, sometimes they shoot their guns, too. So that's, you know, why we're on the porch watching the horses.
Thank
you, Lynn.
So
Merry
good.
Christmas.
Take care. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Hey, Glenn, this is the perfect segue. I do, too. I think if you're going to buy her book, we would suggest that you go to Amazon.com. But if you're going to go to Amazon.com, what we need you to do is to go, is it to the horseradionetwork.com first?
They go to horsesinthemorning.com.
Horsesinthemorning.com first, and there's a little button that you can click Amazon on our website, and it'll take you directly to Amazon, and whatever you buy, Horses in the Morning gets a percentage of, so Glenn can pay the light bill. So if you can help him out, that'd be great. It's just one extra click. And so buy her book and then help us out as well. You like that?
That was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. You know, what a fun day talking to some really cool people And, you know, I keep saying this, but it's so true. We have the best job in the world. And Lynn, you know, it's so funny. When I asked her to come on, she said, I listen every day. I love your show.
Are you so serious?
Excited.
That's so cool.
Yeah. She is.
That's awesome.
She has listened, I think, to Stable Scoop and some of the others. But I have to say, too, I mentioned this earlier, I am so excited when we get off the air today, we get there, Lena and I are recording the Stable Scoop show all about the Tournament of Roses Parade. Jennifer and I have watched the Tournament of Roses, and there's only one place to watch that, HGTV, right, Jennifer?
The only place. Don't tune into the other networks. It's not worth it.
No, HGTV is commercial-free, and you record it, just put it on your TiVo or whatever, and it is terrific. It's commercial-free. It's ours. They cover the entire parade. It's the only way to watch the Tournament of Roses Parade on New Year's Day. We just absolutely love that parade. And now to be able to talk to one of the organizers from Pasadena, the foundation there, and also a couple of the participants in the parade. This parade started 120 years ago as a horse parade. It was started by a hunt club. So it was really meant as a way to ride through the streets and drink, I think, back then. But now, I don't know that much has changed, actually. But there's a lot more flowers now. So and there's still 20 horse groups that ride in that parade every year, and we get to talk to a couple of them. We're having on with us today the All-American Cow Chicks, which is an entertaining group that goes around doing horse tricks and things like that. They're a great organization, and the head of that organization is also a singer, and she does terrific music. And I just contacted her, Jamie, and she said yesterday that she owns the rights to all her songs, so we can start including some of her songs in here in the morning. And
hey,
we're going to get her on. Yeah, we're going to get her on for a special musical episode next month in January. So
perfect.
That should be a lot of fun. And then we're also doing the Victorian Ladies. They're the ones, if you're watchers of the Tournament of Roses Parade, they're the ones that have the little fancy umbrellas, and they're all riding side saddle in their fancy dresses and stuff. So they're coming on the show with us today, too. So I'm just so looking forward to doing that show, just because this has been a thing for Jennifer and I ever since we met.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm really not all that familiar with it, so I enjoy listening to Stable Scoop and learning about it.
You have to. You have to. It's required.
It's
There's
a proper
horses
parade.
In-
that's the difference. It's not like the Macy's Parade. It's sort of a kitschy Broadway show on the street, you know? It's a proper parade. It's got floats, it's got bands, it's got horses. It's a parade.
That's
the way
right.
It should be.
That's the way it should be, exactly.
That's the way it should
and
be,
today,
I said so.
We have had so many cool people on the show today that I uploaded a song that I want to take the show out with today. So when we end, I'm going to leave everybody with one of Marianne Kennedy's that I haven't played yet called Horses and Life. And it just so fits with Debbie calling in about Monty and with Lynn. And, you know, it just sort of fits everything we've talked about today. But I first want to do a quick review of Facebook. Tina said, did you know that Velvet lived on in International Velvet starring Tatum O'Neill? It's about eventing. Loved it. So did
yes.
you see that one?
Yes.
Yeah?
Of course. I actually saw International Velvet before I saw National Velvet because I remember going, there was one before this? So Tatum O'Neill, I saw that one when I was younger.
And Karen from Kentucky Performance Products said, New York City rocks, best place for a meetup. Maybe you can get on the Today Show. Well, there we go.
Love to do it in the summer, then, because those people always look like they're freezing to death, the ones standing outside. I'm always like, why are you out there, you know, with your shirt off and your chest painted and it's 4 degrees? You're going to get hurt.
And horse husband and dad Curtis says, I agree with you, Glenn. Monty was incredible at the gala. I gained a lot of respect for him going head to head with Courtney. It was an incredible show, and he was great with all our pony clubbers, too. I didn't realize, Curtis, that was your pony clubbers that participated in that. Well, that's terrific. So that was a wrap-up here on Facebook, and a lot of people commenting on how beautiful your sign is. So, and I don't see Debbie hasn't posted Monty's picture up there yet. I think she's probably looking for the – oh, there it is. Debbie just nominated Monty, and it just popped in. Oh, that's a pretty good picture of Monty, too. So,
oh, yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's a great picture, actually. So there, add that to your collection there, Jamie. We'll
with
be back
pleasure.
Again tomorrow.
Glenn,
did we
pleasure.
Forget anything? Is there anything else we didn't do today?
I think we covered it all. I'm sorry, I was reading it in the Yada's blog.
One thing that I want to mention, it's kind of more on a serious note, is I would love everybody to stop over to Lane Ashker, who is an inventor, to stop over to her blog. It's at laneashker.blogspot.com. We'll post a link to it in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. Her latest blog post, she was a friend of Colin Davidson, who was the inventor that we talked about that died a couple weeks ago in the car accident. And she has a very moving blog post about Colin. She was at his bedside when he was in the hospital, and she herself had a terrible accident, spent a month in the hospital in England, and she talks about how this brought her back to those days, and it was just a very moving blog. Bring your tissues, Jamie. And I just wanted to mention it because I thought it was important that everybody that can and that's interested should read it.
I just read one sentence and I'm getting choked up. Yeah.
I know. You have to be ready for this one, but I thought she did a terrific job with it. So Lane, good job. And I'll post a link to it on our Facebook page. Be sure to listen to all the other shows on the network. We had Chris call in this morning. She does a number of them. We're talking about Stable Scoop today and Tech and Habit and all the other shows at horseradionetwork.com. What a lot of people don't know is you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com all in one place, including this one. You can actually listen to this one there, too, in the recorded version. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's on our website or iTunes. You can download them to your iPod so you don't have to miss any episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio, which is something I'm getting educated about, Glenn. I'm starting the Twitter world and trying to follow everything. And pretty much I really only read the tweets from the Horse Radio Network, which I don't know why I do because I totally know everything already. But
yeah,
I am starting to learn how to use Twitter, and follow us on Twitter.
You kind of have to branch out who you're following there, Jamie. That'll help.
I think I follow you and Stephen Colbert. I don't know why. He's funny.
There's a combination.
All right, I'll add some more. Well, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. I don't even know who's coming up tomorrow, but we have a great show planned, and always keep nominating. Nominate your hot horseman of 2010. You can always call us, email us, or tweet it. I guess you could tweet it at jamie@horsesinthemorning.com is my email address. So go ahead and do that. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye. We made it through the whole ice storm. We didn't get cut off. We're still here. So for Jennifer and I, we're going to leave you with Marianne Kennedy, a very sweet song called Horses and Life.
Horses and life, it's all the same to me. The reason that my heart keeps beating inside. Horses and life, passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life. I have been blessed with these. It was my destiny. Let this be my legacy.